You're listening to a Sun Life podcast. We pray you'll be blessed with the teaching of God's word. For more sermons, visit sunlife.org.au.
Welcome to Sun Life Church. For those who don't know me, my name is Bin, and I'm really honored to be able to start a new series with you from the book of Revelation. Now, for those who've been coming along to Sun Life Church, you know that we love preaching from the Word of God. We love tackling the Word of God. And we believe that the Word of God is relevant for us in all season. And it's important that we do our best to understand what God has to say to us through His Word. So that's what I'll be doing this morning. I'm not going to be going through the entire book of Revelation. That's because it's quite long, but we may continue next year or the year after. But what I want to do is I want to look at the first three chapters. Not today, but over the next probably 2.5-3 months. And we want to focus on the seven churches that John is writing to. And as we look into their situation, how can that help us grow to be the church that God wants us to be? So that's where we're going over the next 2 to 3 months. There's a few things I want to say before I unpack the Word of God with you. So I'm going to take this morning as a bit of an intro and then look at the 8 verses. So we'll be looking just only verses 1 to 8. But here's a map. Here's a map of what's going on here. So this is to help you understand what's happening in the book of Revelation. Think of Asia Minor as modern-day Turkey. Okay? To the west, we've got Greece. And then, of course, Italy. There's this little island called Patmos, right there. You see it right there? Think Patmos as the Alcatraz. For those who've watched Con Air, you know, the bad of the baddest, the worst convict are locked away in a place where they throw the key away and hopefully they'll rot and die. Well, Patmos is a bit like that. You put the worst of the worst there. It's a little island. Here's John. Remember John? John is the apostle. He's the guy that wrote the fourth gospel, okay? The gospel according to John. So when we turn the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, that fourth book, is his recollection of the gospel message. This is the John whom Jesus is very close to. Yeah, remember John, James, and Peter? They're Jesus' really close buddies. This is the same John who witnessed the death of Jesus, the resurrection and ascension of Jesus. The same John that wrote the three letters, remember? In the first half this year, we studied 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. Well, this is John here. He's probably in his late 80s, early 90s. He's locked away in this island called Patmos. He received this wonderful revelation. This revelation from God. And he's writing down this great letter. Now, this letter is very different to the other letters. Very different to Paul's letters. This letter here is a lot of imagery. A lot of pictures, moving pictures. It's called apocalyptic writing. Okay, apocalyptic writing is a type of writing based on inspiration from God where there are lots of pictures, a lot of symbols, moving pictures. And it's not only an apocalyptic writing, it's a letter, but it's also prophetic. So this wonderful letter here talks about what's happening now and what will be around the corner. Is this great letter that he writes to these seven churches. So the book of Revelation is a letter, one letter, circulated throughout these seven churches in West Turkey or Asia Minor. And there we have Ephesus. And Paul goes clockwise, you know, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, Laodicea. He writes this letter, and the letter is being read out loud at the congregation level. Everyone's listening to it, and it's being passed around in this, you know, clockwise motion to all these seven churches. And as we study this together, we want to grow in the Word of God, and we want to hear what God has to say to us through this wonderful book here. So we think about a book that's got a lot of pictures. It's like the book of Daniel or Ezekiel. A lot of moving pictures. We try not to get too scared with the book. Okay? I mean, we keep in mind that it's a book where if we're not careful, we get so caught up with the imagery, and we miss the point. All right? So I want you to keep that in mind. This is a book where, or a letter where John is writing whilst in prison. Inspired by God, he pens this down. And it's the last book or the last letter of the New Testament. And it's a great way to end this wonderful set of scripture to remind us as God's people. That's a very brief introduction. Now, you can do your own homework and do your own reading. But of course, as you begin to listen to me, hopefully it will make more sense. So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to dive straight into the first 8 verses. Father God, I ask that you help me now to expound your word to your people. I pray that they will hear from you, and that you would use me to speak to us all, and that we would be encouraged with this wonderful letter here, God. Holy Spirit, lead us in this time. Strengthen me, God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you have your Bible, turn to Revelation, which is the last book of the Bible, chapter 1, verses 1 to 8. Keep in mind, this is John writing, okay? Probably 95 AD, towards the end of his life. This is a time where the early church are being persecuted by the Roman Empire. Domitian is this evil ruler who's going around killing all Christians. And John begins to write this down, verses 1 to 8. The revelation from Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who testifies to everything he saw, that is, the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. And John, to the 7 churches in the province of Asia, grace and peace to you from him who is and who was and who is to come, from the 7 spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us, who has freed us from our sins by his blood. He had made us into a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father. To him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds, and everyone will see him, even those who pierce him, and all peoples on earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was, who is to come, the Almighty. 8 verses, that's what we'll be looking at this morning. There are 5 ways in which you can interpret this book, Revelation. 5 ways. I remember when I was studying this years ago, in one semester I was studying the book of Revelation, and I got so confused. There are 5 ways to study it. 5 ways to understand it. Which word I pick, Lord? There's the Peterius way, which simply means that as you read this book here, you put yourself in the position of the original audience, and it's about early first century Christians facing persecution, and everything in the book is about their context, period. That's it. So all the imagery, everything is about what's happening under the oppression of the Roman Empire. That's one way. And some people like going that path. So they exclude all the prophecy, they exclude all the imagery, and they say, well, what does it mean if I was a first century Christian under the oppression from the Romans? How would this letter bring hope to me? Number one. The second way is the historicist way, or it's the history way. It's like, well, it's everything that takes place in church history from the first coming, which is the birth of Jesus Christ, all the way to the second coming when he returns. So all the events of history, everything, Hitler, you know, Donald Trump, whatever. It's all the events from the first coming to the second coming. As you read the book of Revelation, you say, ah, that's where this is in history. That's the second way of reading it. And some people love reading it with those set of lens. Another way is the futurist way of reading it. It's all about the end times, all about the future. So as you read this book, it's like, okay, these are the future events. This is going to take place. This is when it's going to happen. This is the end of the world, Armageddon, and this is what's going to happen after the second coming. So you put in the lens of future, future, future. That's the idealist way of reading it. It's like, what are the biblical principles or the truth, spiritual truth, as I read this, how does it relate to me as a Christian? So it's all the principles and ideas and truth for Christian living today to keep us living a life that is centered in Christ. And the last way to read it is the eclectic way, which I kind of like, and you don't have to agree with me, is a combination of them all. You like that? Okay, because you know what? I just can't make my mind up. So I'm going to take this, take that. And it's understanding the fact that, yes, it means something to the original audience. Yes, there are areas where it points to history. There are parts of the book where it talks about the future. We can apply it to our lives today. So to be safe, we take everything. Okay? And that's my approach. And I want you to keep that in mind. Now, of course, that's very, very brief. You can do your own reading. Ask Mr. Google. Do what you want to do. Come up with your own idea. If you've got a sixth way of understanding it, God bless you. Go for it. I might not want you here, but anyhow, I still love you. Now, there are four observations I could see in the first eight verses. There's probably more than four, but I'm going to take these four here. Because last week, Pastor Benny preached 6 points, is that right? And someone complained to me, he says, Pastor Benny's twice, he's better than you, Pastor Ben. Double the amount. You're 3 points, he's 6 points. So I got a bit jealous, so I'm going for 4 points this week. All right? This revelation reveals the Redeemer, point one. It is to be shown, not secured, not hidden away, point two. It brings about blessings, point three, and it confirms his coming, point four. There are the 4 points I want to talk about this morning based on the first eight verses. Let's look at the very first one. It reveals the Redeemer. See, the word revelation in the Greek is apocalypse, which means something has been unveiled, something revealed. In other words, what is being unveiled? What is being revealed as we read this book? Well, look in verse 1 and verse 2. It is the revelation of or from Jesus Christ. You see that? Which God gave him to show his servant what must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who testified to everything he saw. That is the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Verse 1 and 2. The revelation of this book is Jesus Christ. He is the center of this book. He is the object of this book. He is the person revealed in this book. It's all about Jesus. No one else. Period. So as you study this book here, you walk away loving Jesus more. You're not going to walk away trying to figure out what all these imagery is about. I mean, I remember as a little boy, not a little boy, a teenager, one of my best friends, he's the pastor's kid, right? He gave me this little book, interpreting Revelation. Here I am, Ben, the 15-year-old, 16-year-old guy, reading this book. I've got a picture of the front cover. It looks a bit like this. Man, don't laugh. You picture me being a 15-year-old guy, all right, with this cover. I mean, it's scary, man. It is spooky. There are pictures of dragons and things with heads and a guy with a double-edged sword. And the book is like saying, come on, Ben, I dare you to turn the pages. I dare you to turn and open this book. And I did. I read the book. Silly me. I read the book at night. Not during the day. At night. And I started getting very scared. You know, there is this picture of me being this brave, strong pastor at Sun Life Church. It's never been the case. I was this scared boy. I was reading. I got so scared. I kid you not, I didn't finish the book. I passed to the next guy. And you know what happened? He didn't finish the book. And he passed to the next guy. And that one book went around the whole church. Because none of us had the courage to read the entire book because it was scary stuff. And for those who've tackled Revelation, you probably know what I'm talking about, right? Talks about the great judgment, this huge abyss, these guys on horses, dragons, Babylon, the whore, the number 666, the Antichrist, and we get so scared, and we don't want to read this book. Or when we hear the latest advertisement that Pastor so-and-so or Prophet so-and-so is going to unpack the book of Revelation, you know, BSF is going to do a whole year in Revelation, we get so excited, man, because we want to know who is 666, right? And we forget that it's the revelation of Jesus Christ. It reveals the Redeemer. It's all Him. We must never, ever forget it's about King Jesus. It's the fact that Jesus rules and Jesus wins, and those who are belonging to Jesus, they also win at the very, very end. So no matter how hard life is or what you're facing, if you belong to Jesus, at the end of the day, Jesus wins and so do you. That's what Revelation is all about. It is the unveiling of Jesus Christ. It is the testimony of Jesus Christ. Don't get caught up trying to figure out what these symbols are all about. Don't be like one of those where it's like, oh, because this happened and that happened, well, I know when Jesus Christ is coming back, so I'll sell all my investment and buy canned foods and I'm going to be all right because when Armageddon comes, I'm good to go. That's not how you read Revelation. It's not like, well, you know what, I'm part of the 144,000 and you're not, haha, bad luck. It's not that. Or it's not like, well, Apple, they've come up with this code thing where they could read you, oh, that's the 666, or better buy Apple, or better start buying Android product. That's a sin. You buy Apple stuff, it's okay. And it's not this whole thing, well, President so-and-so is the Antichrist, so I won't be voting for him. It's not how you read Revelation. We get so caught up with the imagery that we forget it reveals the Redeemer. It's the proclamation of Jesus Christ. Focus on the proclamation and not the prediction. Don't focus on what is around the corner. Focus on what is present right here. Jesus Christ is Lord. And as we read verses 6, 5 and 6, let me read that. Let's go there. And from Jesus Christ, who is faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, he has made us to be a kingdom and a priest to serve his God and Father. To him, that's Jesus, be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. There are six things I see about Jesus here. That he is the faithful witness. When we think of faithful witness, witness in Revelation talks about perseverance and persecution. He has persevered through persecution. He went to the cross for us. And if he went to the cross for us, and if he didn't give up on us, he won't give up on us now. He is faithful. He is the faithful witness. He is also the firstborn. When we think of firstborn, we think of the next head of the household. The next person who will be in control of the inheritance. Colossians 1, if you remember Colossians 1 in verse 15 or so, he is the firstborn of all creation. He is in control of all creation. That's our Jesus. We're also told that he is the ruler. He is the ruler. He is the King of kings. He is the Lord of lords. He is the ruler of rulers. Whoever is oppressing you, whatever situation you're in, don't forget that Jesus Christ is the ultimate ruler. That's the Jesus Christ. But not only that, we know that he's our lover. Number four, he is our lover. This is the great thing about Jesus Christ. Not only that he is sovereign, not only he is in control, not only that he is ruler, he's also our lover. He loves us with an everlasting love. He will always love us. And number five, he is Savior. The Bible says that he's freed us from our sins by his blood. He has saved you and he has saved me. He is so good in saving us when we don't deserve to be saved, but yet he would save us. He is our Savior. And finally, he is our Maker. Revelation says that he has made us into a kingdom, priests. This God is constantly transforming us, making us into priests. What's a priest? A priest represents the people to God. Their job is to represent the people to God, bring the people before God. You and I, we're all priests. We're representing people, bringing them to God. That's our job. This is the revealed Jesus in Revelation. This is the Jesus we ought to fall in love with over and over again. This is the Jesus who rules and reigns. This is the Jesus that we preach at Sun Life Church. This is the Jesus that we want to walk away loving more. This is the Jesus we want to walk away saying, man, I'm so glad that he would love me. I'm so glad that he's my ruler. He's the firstborn. He's faithful. He's my savior. He's my maker. I'm so glad that I belong to him. This is the Jesus that we want everyone to walk away this morning saying, man, I love him so much. We don't say that we love this church. We don't say that we love Sun Life Church. We don't say that we love the pastor here, the preacher here. We love the Jesus here. Because it's all about Jesus. We exist as a church because of Jesus. He died for this church. He died for this bride called Sun Life Church. Every Sunday, every Connect Group gathering, every time we come together for prayer, leadership events, whatever it is, may we walk away from those meetings and say, man, I'm so in love with Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Jesus is the one who saved me. Jesus is the one who's radically transforming me. I'm forever in love with Jesus. I want to tell everyone about Jesus. Revelation reveals this Redeemer whose name is Jesus Christ. When we read the Bible, when we read whatever books of the Bible, whether it's Old Testament, New Testament, whether it's the poetic letters, whether it's history books, whether it's the apocalyptic writing, it's all pointing to Jesus. It's about Jesus. I want us to be a church where we don't talk about how great this church is. We talk how great Christ is. It's all about Jesus. May your life portrays this Jesus. It reveals our Redeemer, number one. Number two, it is to be shown, not secured, not hidden away. You notice John would say in the verse, the first two verses, he says this, the revelation from Jesus which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who testified to everything he saw. We are not to hide, keep this revelation secured. We are to show it to everyone. You notice something. God the Father showed this to Jesus. Jesus showed this revelation to an angel. An angel showed this to John the Apostle. And John the Apostle showed this to the servants, you and I. There is this transmission from one source to another. There is this passing on that this great Jesus is not only God, he's our lover, he's our maker, he's our ruler, he's our witness, he is our savior. This wonderful revelation is being passed on. And it cannot stop with you and I. It shall never stop with you and I. Surely someone must have shared that gospel message to you. Surely there was a moment where you said, wow, I can't believe Jesus would love me. This revelation that God came in the flesh for me. That wonderful gospel message came to you through someone else. And it cannot stop with you. Your job is to make sure it moves out of you. And you have to show that to someone else. This revelation must be shown, not kept secured. We have to tell it to people. And my question to you is, who will you pass this revelation to? Are you passing this revelation to someone? The gospel is not to be hidden. The gospel must be shown. The gospel is not to be closed. The gospel is to be disclosed. The gospel is not concealed. The gospel is to be revealed. The gospel must never terminate with us. The gospel must extend from us. It must get out of us. We have to show it. We have to show it off to the people around us. We've got to boast about the gospel. What does Paul say? If you want to boast, boast what? Jesus Christ. You want to show off your life? Show off Jesus Christ. Don't show off your bank account. Don't show off what you do for a living. Show off Jesus Christ. There's a story of three guys at a bar. A doctor, an engineer, and a politician. And of course, they were boasting off on their profession. They want to show off how good their profession is and how old their profession is. And of course, the doctor said, well, without a doubt, without doctors, mankind could have not survived. We made sure that mankind were in existence. Surely my profession, medicine as a doctor, is the greatest, the grandest, the oldest of them all. And of course, the engineer says, no way. All the engineers in the house would agree with me, right? Before life began, there was complete chaos. We're talking about chaos. It was a riot. And the engineer came along and created systems. Systems to put the chaos back in order, to control the chaos. So engineering is the best, is the grandest, is the oldest. And they look at the politician. And he says, well, who created the chaos? Well, that's a joke, right? That's a joke. But wouldn't you agree with me that if you want to show off something, you only show it off because you're proud of it? Is that right? It means something to you. You're so proud of that thing. People like to show off their children because they're so proud of their children. People like to show off their latest holidays because they're proud of their latest holidays. All those things are fine. But surely, if you're proud of Jesus Christ, if He's so good to you, if He's done so much to you, surely you want to show Him off. I mean, if you know that Jesus Christ is the Redeemer, if you know that Jesus Christ is the one who can bring healing, transformation, who would restore marriages and help bringing up godly children, surely you want to show off Jesus. We're not to hide this gospel. We're not to close it and keep it secure. We're to show it to everyone. We're to say that Jesus is the solution. He is the answer to the problem of this world. You have to meet Jesus. You've got to come here and hear the gospel message. You've got to be part of my small group, because I know that if Jesus is in your life will be totally transformed. You need Jesus. Why? Because I have experienced that transformation through Jesus Christ. He is so good to me. He is worth it. Therefore, I want you to experience Him. Would you agree with me? If Jesus is so good to us, if He has done so much for us, surely we want to show Him off to the people around Him. I believe that our church will be a healthy church, will be a growing church, if every single one of us here, every single one of us here, would realize how good Jesus Christ is, what He has done for us, that we would never hold that within us, but take every opportunity to share that and show that to the people around us. Every opportunity, whether it's down the supermarket, dropping the kids at school, the people that we work with, every opportunity we want to show people Jesus Christ. And I reckon if we do that, if our lifestyle was one where people would see Jesus in us, we will be a growing church. We will be a church where people would come and their lives will be transformed because they've encountered Jesus Christ. I know that some of you, you're coming along to Sun Life Church and maybe you've really received Jesus, but you haven't told anyone yet. Jesus is so good that I want you to keep on this journey. Keep loving Jesus, and may Jesus use you to show how good He is to the people around you. We are to show this revelation to the people around us. Amen. My third point, this revelation here brings about blessings. In verse 3, blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. You notice in the singular, the one who reads, that's one person reading it. Read the revelation, you'll be blessed. You notice the plural, those who hear the revelation. If you hear this, you'll be blessed. Now, can I paraphrase this? I think God will be happy with this. Blessed is the pastor, the one, who preaches the series on Revelation. Blessed are the Sun Lifers who keep coming along every Sunday to finish the rest of the series because they're listening. I think that's what God is saying. Right? So there's blessing for the guy who's going to preach it. Thank you. I'm going to receive that blessing. And blessing for those who listen to it. So if you want to be blessed, you can't go, well, Pastor, thank you for sermon one. You've got to be here for the next 8 sermons. And I'm going to take a snapshot of you right now. And I'm going to know who's not going to be here next week. Because that's one blessing less. All right? So if you want to be blessed, you've got to be here every week. Okay? Now, look at the text carefully. And John would say this. You have to hear it and take it to heart. Can you see that? Not only listen to it, but you've got to internalize it. You've got to take it to heart. This is the thing here, is when you hear something, you have to receive it to the heart. In the New Testament and the Old Testament, Hearing and obeying are the two sides of the one coin. In fact, the Hebrew verb for hearing is the same as the Hebrew verb for obeying. You cannot separate that. So when you hear something, or when you see the word hear in Scripture, it means to obey. All right? So in other words, when you take something to heart, it means that, yes, I get it. I know what you want me to do. I know that when I read this book, I'm going to make sure that I don't get too caught up with the imagery and the symbols. I'm going to make sure that I focus and fix my eyes on Jesus. I get it. That when I study the Word of God and I realize how good God is, I'm not to hold God and keep God here, but I've got to show God to everyone. See, that's taking to heart and that's obeying. And right here we are told that when we hear the word preached from the book of Revelation, we take it to our heart, we will be blessed. John, this is the same author, writes this in the gospel, in John 14, he writes this, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them and we will come to make them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching." See what John is saying? You hear the teaching of Jesus Christ, you obey it. If you don't love him, you don't obey. And this is the word of God. When you receive the word of God into your heart, you have a choice to make. Do I obey? Do I disobey? And that's a choice we all have to make. You hear God saying a certain thing about the way you're living your life, you have to make a decision. Do I take it on? I don't take it on. Do I obey? I disobey. God, my way is higher than your way. No, I don't want anything to do with you, God. I will disobey. And that's fine. And God will say, that's fine. But this is the thing here. If we're willing to obey, we're on the path to blessing. In fact, we're on the path of blessing. If we disobey, don't start complaining. God, how come I'm not blessed? God, how come there's no blessing? In fact, God doesn't own us anything. God doesn't have to bless us. Do we think that God has to bless us? No, he doesn't. But the word of God says this, if you obey, if you listen to my word, if you take to heart, I will bless you. In other words, if you want to go down the path of blessing, obey my words. And when you're on that path, there will be blessing. We have to make that decision. A few months ago, my wife and I think, put some hot chips in the oven. And we were having hot chips for dinner. With fish and salad and all the healthy stuff. Of course, not just hot chips. We get paid as well, it's okay. And my boys, they love hot chips. They really love hot chips. And anyhow, Tran is bringing out the hot chips. The big, fat, battered one, really nice. And it's super hot. I tried one, and it was so hot, I burned my tongue. And I said to my boys, just wait for a second, boys, just wait. It's very, very hot. And the boys are quite impatient. It's like, oh, we want hot chips, Dad. And they gave me this puppy look. They gave me the look like, you know, why are you stopping us from eating our hot chips? We love it. We're so hungry. We haven't ate for days. Yeah. And I got so fed, tired. I was tired with these boys. And I said, trust me, guys. You're going to burn your tongue. And they gave me this look. They really want the hot chips. I had it. Go for it. Make my day. Go for it. And they took it. And we know what happened, right? They burnt their tongue. See, with God, it's a bit like that. God goes, take the path of obedience and there'll be blessing. Don't take the other path. Disobedience, there's no blessing. Hear my word. Read my word. Saturate your heart with my word. Obey my word. That's a good path. There'll be blessing. But some of us, we're like, no, I like that path. Because that path is wider. That path is more fun. And therefore we complain. We say, God, how come I'm not blessed? How come so-and-so are more blessed and they get more blessing and my family, we have nothing? We have no right to ask God that if we're going down this path here. So if you want to be blessed, the Word of God says here, hear the Word of God, take it to your heart, obey the Word of God, and you're on this path of blessing. But let me say this as a caution. The blessing doesn't mean that it will be an easy life. It doesn't mean that everything will be great. It doesn't mean that you'll be healthy and you'll be wealthy. We'll never preach at Sun Life Church. You'll never see me on the TV screen with my number there, send money here and you'll be blessed. You know I'll never do that. I won't do that. But let me say this, that even if hardship comes your way, and if you're on that path of blessing, no matter what life throws at you, you're still going to be blessed. There'll be joy. There'll be peace. There'll be a reassurance that even if God takes my life away, I belong to Him forevermore. Bring it on. Blessings for those who want to take on the Word of God. My last point, it confirms His coming. Look in verse 7 and 8. Look, He is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see Him, even those who pierced Him, and all peoples on earth will mourn because of Him. So shall it be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who was is to come, the Almighty. Family and friends, listen carefully. There will be a day, I don't know when, Jesus will return. It's not a matter if He will come back, it's when will He come back. He is coming back. The first coming, He came as a little infant, weak, meek, humble, died as a servant on a cross. The second coming, He comes back strong, as a king, as a warrior, mighty, powerful. He is coming back. Are you ready for that day? Are you ready for that day? You know, one of the things I love playing with my boys after a long day at work, working at Sun Life Church, whether I'm coaching people, mentoring people, sermon prep, I'm totally exhausted. I come home and we played hide and seek. I love it. I would tell the boys, okay, boys, okay, we'll start in Daddy's room. Dad will count to 20, and you guys hide. And I'll count 1, 2, 3 to 20. And at the end of 20, I scream at the top of my lung, ready or not, here I come. And they're hiding. But what actually happens is that I don't leave my bed. Because I'm so tired. So I'm still lying on bed. And the boys are now like scratching their head. Man, Dad is getting old. He is so bad at this game. Like 30 minutes now. He still can't find us. But that's true because I'm just so tired, right? And then after 30 minutes, you know, I find them. And then I say, okay, guys, let's reverse it now. So they're in their room. And they count to 20. And then I hide. So then they go, ready or not, here we come. And I find a really good hiding place. Like really good. Like even Tran doesn't know where it is. It's like behind the garden shed, right? And I'm just resting there. And it takes them like hours to find me, like, and it's good because I'm just so tired, right? I'm so tired. You see, that's how it's a win-win situation. Yeah? You work hard during the day, but you come home and play with your kids and you still get to rest. It's smart. It's wisdom, right? It's wisdom. What's my point? Jesus one day will return and He will say, ready or not, here I come. Ready or not, here I come. May we all be ready. May we all say, Jesus, I'm ready. I can't wait to meet You. I can't wait to tell You how I've lived my life. I can't wait to show You the people that I've shared the gospel message to. I can't wait to show You my children that they've come to love You and fear You. I can't wait to show You my work here. I can't wait to spend eternity with You. Jesus, I'm ready for You. May we be ready on that day. And for those who are not ready, the Bible says here that every eye will see Him, even those who pierced Him, and all the peoples on earth will mourn because of Him. So shall it be. Amen. I believe right here, those who pierced Him are those who are not ready. They will mourn. And they will say things like, well, I can't believe it that this Jesus is real. I can't believe that all these years I've heard this Jesus through my friend. I've come along to this church called Sun Life Church. I've heard the gospel message, but I never thought it was real and I'm not ready. It's too late. And they would mourn and they would regret it. And that's what we see right here, that He would come. He would come as God. He would come as our wonderful King and Judge and Ruler. And for those who are not ready, they will mourn. If only I listened, if only I took it to my heart what they've been sharing to me and it's too late. Jesus comes back as God. Look in verse 8. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. This I am the Omega, I am the Alpha. The I am is in reference to Exodus chapter 3, verse 14, when Moses is at the burning bush and he sees God in the burning bush and he says, God, you want me to go to Egypt and tell the entire empire to release your people? Who do I say is sending me? And God says, I am who I am. Tell him the great I am has sent you. You see, the I am statement is I am God. I am the Alpha, which means that there's no one before me. I am the Omega. That means there's no one after me. Before the beginning of time, I was there. At the ending of time, I will be there. I am God, and I return as God. That's who I am. Ready or not, here I come. He comes back as God. He comes back as King, as ruler. May we all be ready. Surely, if we know that he's coming back and we don't know when, there has to be this spiritual awakening in all of us. If I said to you, God told me that he's coming back tonight, how would you live the rest of this afternoon? We won't be spiritually dormant. There's an awakening. Oh, is there someone I have to forgive? Is there someone I have to say sorry to? Is there a sin I have to repent? Is there someone who needs to hear the gospel message? Have I kept the message in myself? Has it terminated with me? It has to extend from me. Who must I share this to? Are you with me? There has to be an awakening. I've got to get out there and share it with people. There's an urgency for evangelism. I better focus on the things that really matters, not the things that are temporal, the things that are eternal. I got to start thinking about those things. If Jesus is coming back tonight, how will you live the rest of this afternoon? You wouldn't care less about your investment property. You wouldn't care less about feeling sorry for yourself because your footy team lost on the weekend. You wouldn't care less about the person who hurt you because you know that God is the judge. He will sort them out. You can forgive them. You wouldn't care less about the illness that you're struggling with because you know that you'll be resurrected in a new body. And where you're going, there's no more pain. You wouldn't care less if you didn't have the money to pay the bills. In fact, you probably end up spending a lot the last 2 hours of your life, right? But what's the point? Because those things are temporal. That you will focus on the things that are eternal. So there's a spiritual awakening. You see, the coming of Jesus Christ, which is confirmed in Revelation, should wake us all. That we are ready. Ready to receive him. We're awakened. There's an urgency to get out there and do all the things that matter. There are a lot of things that we do. Can I just speak to my heart to you? There are a lot of things that we do that doesn't really matter. Families are arguing over the fact that should I get a granite benchtop or a marble benchtop? Who cares? People arguing, oh, you know what? We should go to Bali instead of whatever. Who cares? Get over it. Those things don't matter. Seriously? We should focus on the things that really matter. The eternal things. Tell people about Jesus. Tell people how good Jesus is. If Jesus has done a miracle in your situation, if you've been blessed by Jesus, if you know that there's such blessing on the path of obedience, tell people about that. Make sure everyone's ready, because one day he will say, ready or not, here I come. May we all be ready. May all our loved ones be ready. Amen. So I leave you with those four things from the first 8 verses. That Revelation, as we read this, as we study this over the next 9 weeks, it reveals Jesus, our Redeemer. This book is to be shown. In other words, this revelation, this gospel, shown to people, not kept secured, not kept hidden. All right? It brings about a blessing. As we study this book and listen to it and take it to heart, it's going to bring a blessing. And I wasn't joking about not seeing you next week. I'm expecting you all to be here next week. And of course, it confirms he's coming. He's coming back. Ready or not, here I come. May we be ready. May we encourage so many people around us to be ready as well. Amen. Let me pray for you. God, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for your wonderful word. That we as a church, we get to study this book together. And we know, God, that in the day, we're so loved by you. Lord, I pray that as we leave this place here, we're reminded of your great love for us. And that we cannot contain it, that we want to share it with the people around us. So God, will you do the work in our hearts right now? I don't know, and I'm going to speak to you right now. I don't know whether there's some of you here this morning, after hearing what I've just shared, that you want Jesus. That you've been coming along for a while now, and you're really liking this community. You're feeling this place is home, and you feel that no one's judging you. And what I'm saying, it makes sense. That you begin to experience in your heart that this Jesus really loves you. In fact, that you're probably even accepted Jesus as Lord, but you haven't let anyone know. So if that's you this morning, if you have never had the chance to say, I love Jesus. I want Jesus. I'm a Christian. In other words, I'm a follower of Christ. I might not have it right now. I don't fully understand it, but I just love Jesus. If that is you this morning, if you've been coming here for the last few months or few weeks, and this morning God has really spoken to you, and you feel that, yes, that's me, can you raise your hand? I want to pray for you. I want to rejoice with you. I want to say, well done. Well done that you love Jesus. Well done that Jesus is your Lord. Well done that you would say that this morning you belong to him. If there's anyone this morning who says, yeah, Jesus, I want you. Jesus, I need you. Is there anyone? You're not a Christian yet, but this morning you say, yeah, I want to be a Christian. This morning I need Jesus. Is there anyone? I'm not going to push you. But if that's you and God is speaking to you, if your heart's racing and you don't want to put up your hand, you can come and tell me afterwards because I want to rejoice with you. Here's the second thing. I feel that as I was sharing the Word of God, that it was very piercing. That God was really convicting some of you this morning. That maybe for some of you, you've been living a life where you totally forgot that He's coming back. You know in the back of your head that he's coming back, but you just totally forgot about it. Therefore, you are putting all your time and all your energy and all your investment in this life. And God says, wait a minute, no. I'm coming. I'm coming back. Focus on the things that are eternal, not temporal. Or maybe some of you this morning, you realize, wow, now I know why I'm not blessed. Because I've always did it my way. I've always said to God, my way is better than your way, God. But this morning, God, you've spoken to me and you've reminded me that I need to go down the path of blessing, which is your way. To take your word to heart, to obey. Maybe that is some of you this morning. Or maybe some of you this morning, you have not passed that message to anyone. In other words, the gospel message, the goodness of Jesus Christ has terminated with you. It stopped with you. And you can't remember the last time you shared how good Jesus is to someone. In other words, you haven't showed off the goodness of Jesus Christ. Maybe this morning God has used me to really pierce that part of your life. I don't know, but I sense that there are some people here. God is saying to you this morning, He loves you. God is saying to you this morning, He forgives you. God is saying to you this morning that you can make a difference as you leave this place. If that is you this morning, can you raise your hand so I can pray for you? I'm not going to ask you to come forward this morning. I just want to give you this time to do business with God, and I want to pray for you. Okay, if that is you, raise your hands now. Yep. Yep. Good. Good. I see you. Anyone else? God is piercing you. God is probing your heart. Anyone else wants to make business with God this morning? Father God, you see those hands raised up, and I pray for every brother and sister of mine here in the house that first and foremost you remind them that your grace is sufficient, that you love us and you forgive us, and there is no sin, there is no moment where you do not love us, God. So I pray right now for the realization that they are so loved by you, that your grace is more than they can comprehend. God, I also pray that your Spirit will just encourage them to keep living a life for your glory. For what areas have you been speaking to them concerning their life? God, I pray, God, that you would help them to overcome those areas, Lord. And I pray that they would live lives for your glory. I pray, God, that you would use them, God, to showcase your goodness to the people around them. I pray, God, that they will fix their eyes upon you, the things that are eternal, and not worry about the things that don't really matter, God. So I pray for them, God. I pray for those who've been disobedient, who've been going down the wrong path, God, that you would take this opportunity this morning to speak to them and to remind them to go back on that path, a path where they would receive your word and take your word to their heart, God, a path of obedience, God, where they would receive your blessings, blessings upon blessings, God. God, will you overwhelm them with your goodness, God, so much that they cannot contain it but have to share it with the people around them, God. God, thank you so much for your word this morning. Thank you so much that you are the revealed God, that Jesus, you are our Lord, you are our lover, you are our ruler. You are our maker. You are the firstborn. Oh God, you are our faithful witness. God, we love you so much, God. I pray that we would walk away this place this morning loving you even more. I pray, God, as we begin to tackle this new week, Monday to Saturday, Lord, we live lives where your gospel is so attractive that the people around us will just gravitate towards us, that you'll give us the confidence to proclaim your good news to these people. God, you are doing a beautiful work at Sun Life Church. We know the best is yet to come, so we thank you for what will be an amazing season for us around the corner. God, thank you so much for your work in this church. Thank you so much for your word. We look forward to what you have to say to us next week, God. May we come here ready again next week to receive from you. May we lean in and hear what you have to say to us. We love you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Would you be upstanding with me? Would you worship this Jesus, this revealed Redeemer, the one revealed in the book of Revelation? He is here with us this morning. Will you worship him with me this morning?